Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Essentially, Paul is just dealing with one problem that has many facets. The Corinthian church has the big problem of the Corinthian church is selfishness and lack of love. They had an every man for himself kind of an attitude all the way through. In the realm of who baptized them and what their favorite teachers were, they were divided. My teacher's better than yours. My version of Christianity is better than yours. They were taking each other to court because they were in it for themselves and being very selfish. They were looking at their feasts together in a very selfish way. I brought my food. Why didn't you bring yours? That's tough luck if you're hungry. They were selfish in the relationship to the feasts that were given in idol-worshipping places and in the temples of idols. Well, I know it's nothing. I can go anyway. And they took no thought about how they were influencing other people to sin. They took no thought about the fact that they owed loyalty to God and that they couldn't partake of the Lord's table and the table of idols at the same time. And so they were, because they were loyal to themselves, they neglected their loyalty to God and they neglected their loyalty to one another, and they didn't see it. And so it should be no surprise that in chapter 12, where Paul starts to talk about miraculous gifts, that they would be acting the same way and need the same kind of rebuke. He's saying, well, you know, when it comes to spiritual gifts, when it comes to spiritual power, supernatural power, the loyalty still has to be to God and to your fellow brothers and sisters. And they didn't get it. It was for me, myself, and I. How can I accumulate the most power for myself without regard to the relationship to God, and not without regard to their relationship to one another? And so, essentially, Paul was trying to rearrange their focus. And so I'll look at the first 11 verses this morning, and then next week we'll look at one of the examples he gives next week when he talks about us being the body of Christ. But this morning, there are two aspects in verses 1 to 11 that I'd like to talk about. First is the idea of loyalty to God versus loyalty to self. The first three verses, I don't know about you, but, well, let me read them. But I used to read it and I'd say, oh, duh, well, of course. That's intuitively obvious. Well, you don't have to teach that. You can just read it. You know what it is. So, you know, big deal. And I've been thinking it is a big deal and I need to talk about it a little bit. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That sounds pretty obvious, doesn't it? Okay, well, let's get on with something else. But there's more to it than that, I think. And there's more implied to it than that, I believe. He's talking about spiritual gifts. And you think about what had happened in the first century and what was likely to have gone on in the Corinthian church, it makes more sense. In Acts chapter 8, there's a guy named Simon, who was from Samaria. He used to do all sorts of magic tricks and sorcery, and he was a big shot in town. And then Philip, the evangelist, came into town, and he started doing miracles in Jesus' name, and his jaw dropped. His jaw dropped. I think I pronounced it right. Anyway, his jaw dropped, and he said, this is the real deal. And he came to believe that the message was true about Jesus, and he was baptized into Christ, and he was following Philip around, amazed at all the stuff that Philip was doing. And then all of a sudden, the apostles came, so that they might lay their hands on people, and the people started to receive these miraculous gifts as the apostles laid their hands on people and they were praying. And Simon, being used to be the big shot sorcerer, and already having a bag filled with magic tricks, thought, "Hey, if I could do that, just think of how great I could be," right? He was used to being the big shot magician, and now there were some really great tricks he could add to his bag. And so he offers money to the apostles. And what was Peter's response? "Your money perish with you, that you think you could buy the gift of God with money. You've got to repent of all of this evil attitude of yours." But what was going through Simon's mind? These spiritual gifts were for his private use. He had the magic from his old life. He could always pull that up, but now he had all of this other stuff. And so he was looking for selfish use of these things. In Revelation, I forget, I don't have the verse and I don't have the chapter, I just thought of it within the last few minutes. In Revelation, there was a woman called Jezebel that one of the congregations had to watch out for, because she was in the midst of a congregation encouraging people to eat meat sacrificed to idols and engaged in witchcraft type of stuff. So it was a very real temptation. And people were thinking, "I can get in on all of this power. I can get this knowledge. I can get this secret supernatural knowledge. And I want it for myself. And boy, it's great that I can get it in the church. But the guy down the street has some of that too." And there's a temptation. There was a temptation back then, especially, to walk both sides of the street. So I can get a miraculous gift from the Holy Spirit, and I get the gift of prophecy or healing or speaking in tongues and all of this kind of stuff. But if I really wanted to know what I should do and how I should go about things and maybe influence the future, maybe I ought to go to this magician down the corner and hand him $50. And I think it's in this context that Paul is saying right here, "Hey, wait a minute. I want you to know where that power is coming from and be sure to go to the right place. We belong to Jesus. And it's through God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, that these powers come, that the truth comes, that the real knowledge comes, that the real wisdom comes, that the holy knowledge comes. And the source of this other stuff is from the wrong side of the fence in the spiritual realm. And we ought not to go there." Now, it doesn't say all of that in those three verses, but I think that's what's being implied. We need to know who's who in the spirit world, especially if we're looking for the miraculous or some kind of intervention or some kind of power. You want intervention in your life, you pray to God through Jesus Christ. That's the way to get power. You want wisdom in your life, you look to God's Word, because His Spirit spoke this. And that's what He wants us to do. To look to Him for the wisdom. To look to Him for the guidance. To be faithful. And this, it's found in other places. This whole principle was found in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy. In two places in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 13. God is God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God speaking through Moses had the same principle in mind here as what Paul is expressing in 1 Corinthians 12 and other places. We maintain our loyalty, our spiritual loyalty to God and not to others who may be using other spiritual powers or just plain fakes. If a prophet, this is in Deuteronomy 13, starting in verse 1. "If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises from among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known and serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So even if somebody comes along and with their Ouija board or with their crystal ball or their tarot cards or their magic bones or whatever else they use to predict the future comes along and it comes true, if they're not drawing you to Christ, they're from the wrong place. And if it isn't true, you don't listen. You know, even if their sign comes true, if their allegiance isn't with God, you don't listen. This is what God was saying back in Moses' day. If they're leading you away from the law of Moses, you don't listen to them, even if they do a real miracle. And then later in the same book, and not very farther along in the same speech, this is what he tells the Israelites. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's a human sacrifice. One who uses divination, it's fortune telling. One who practices witchcraft, using potions and spells and all of this kind of stuff. Or one who interprets omens. You cut open the liver of a chicken and see what the design is and predict the future and that kind of stuff. Or a sorcerer. Or one who casts a spell or a medium or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead. You shall not... For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. He was mad at the non-Jewish people for doing this stuff. Do you think how mad he might be if we do this stuff? Do you think how mad he would be if the Israelites did that? He got mad. I mean, the Israelites ended doing that stuff and he got mad. It hasn't really changed in the list of... In the list of things that we're to avoid as far as the deeds of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, there's a whole list of things that Paul is saying, look, if we practice things, we're not going to make it. And right in the middle of all these things, in verse 20, in this list is idolatry and then sorcery. So the magic arts are included in this list. Now, I used to skip over this passage of 1 Corinthians because, you know, nobody believes that stuff. Well, unfortunately, it's not true. I think, you know, all too often there are people out there who don't look at Harry Potter as a fantasy, but as a documentary. I mean it's silly, but it's unfortunately it's true. Their people have a spiritual hunger and they want answers and they start looking in all the wrong places. And they're looking apart from Christ, they're looking apart from God, and they're getting themselves in trouble. One way or the other. Some of these guys are just plain charlatans and pretenders, and they'll cause your jaw to drop because they have a good research department. They find out stuff about you that you thought nobody else could find out, but they did their research and they figured it out, and they make your jaw drop because they make some good guesses and they do good research. And so in that case, the worst that happens is they're separating you from your money and you're being a sucker. Well, what if they're getting their information from a spiritual source? Well, if it's not from God's Spirit, it's coming from the wrong end of the spectrum, folks. And even if what they say is miraculous knowledge, that was given by a spiritual being, how do you know that they have your interests at heart? One of the big things a deceiver can do would be tell you the truth, tell you the truth, tell you the truth, slip in a lie. Tell you the truth, tell you the truth, slip in a lie. And we need to heed the warning. We need to heed the warning. We listen to God. We don't listen to this stuff. We need to guard ourselves against this stuff. Why do people go to these things? Because they want spiritual power for themselves. Sometimes they go to these things because they don't like the answers that God is giving, and I want the answers I want. So if God's word is saying this thing, but I talk to this other guy over here, I can get the answers I want. But it's still about me, myself, and I, right? And it's still something that's going to lead to our destruction. God wants our loyalty. And when it comes to looking for power in our life, the spiritual strength, spiritual wisdom, and all of that, we need to be looking to God and looking to His Word. And that kind of loyalty is something that we're still being called to, even though He may not be distributing the same kinds of gifts now that He did back then. So, it's a rebuke to them and it's a warning to us. I pray to God and hope to God none of us are dabbling in that kind of stuff. And if you are, stop. But beware, beware, because there's sort of this draw, you know. There's sort of a draw that on people that, you know, hey, you can be on the in. Well, if you want to be on the in, be in on the inside of the good side, okay? On the side that leads to life and truth and justice and eternal life. So, there's the warning of loyalty to God, and then in verses 4 to 11, there's a warning toward loyalty to one another. Because what was happening, many of them were having miracles, they were performing miracles. They were speaking in other languages they had never studied. They were healing the sick. Some of them had the gift of prophecy. Some of them were able to interpret languages that they had never studied. Some had other gifts of healings. Some had the gift of wisdom and so on. There were all sorts of different miraculous gifts that they've been given. And looking at it through selfish eyes, what did they do? Can you guess? Well, I got the gift of healing and you only can mutter those tongues. I got the gift of wisdom. You know how that goes, right? I mean, you're a kid under the Christmas tree and have brothers and sisters. I got the red truck and you didn't, you know? It was that kind of thing, wasn't it? You look at it selfishly, immaturely. That's the way they looked at it. And Paul was trying to fix their attitude. He wanted to fix their attitude about their hunger for spiritual power. Look, the real power comes from God. And you don't accumulate it for yourself. Real power comes from God. And those powers that you're given are used for God's people, for other people. And it's not meant to glorify you, it's meant to glorify Christ. And we got to get that. They had to get that, and we have to get that. Verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice here, he always goes, varieties but the same. Varieties but the same. Many but one. Many but one. Over and over and over again, what the idea is, and he develops this pattern, saying, look, you look around, there are all sorts of different stuff God is doing in your midst. You got to realize it all comes from the same source, and that we're united in that same source. You've got to realize that not only does it come from the same source, but it has the same purpose. Even though there's a difference in what we're doing, the purpose is to help one another. It's not so that I can be a big shot and you can be the peon. It's not so that I can be the head honcho and you can be, and you can just be the riffraff. It's so that we can serve one another. And so this is the pattern. I'll read it now. Now that I've preached it, I'll read it. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Notice, he starts off by saying, we need to be loyal to the source, to that one source of gifts, that one source of power, which is the Lord. And then he's reinforcing that, saying, look around you, all of the differences that we have, all of the gifts that he has given us, all came from that same Lord. That is a reason for us to be united, not divided, right? It all comes from the same God. It all comes from the same God. It all comes from the same Lord. It all comes from the same Spirit. It should be a cause of unity within us, not a cause of division. You know, you've got a... I've got an electric drill and you've got a power saw and we've got to build something. It's kind of nice if we work together, don't you think? And it's especially nice if the same person gave us each our own tools. And we're all in the same family and we're all supposed to build the same house. And that's the kind of thing he's saying here. Some people had the gift of prophecy. It was meant for the whole church. Some people had the gift of wisdom. That was meant for the whole church. Some people had a gift of healing. That was meant for the whole church. It was meant to honor God through service to one another. Well, we don't do some of that stuff. But we do do some of that stuff too, don't we? Does God still give us the gift of wisdom? Does God still give us the gift of knowledge? Does God still give us a gift of teaching? Does God still give us a gift of encouragement? Does God still give us gifts of intelligence, gifts of endurance, gifts of insight? God gives us gifts of design and artwork. God gives us gifts of musical talent. There's all sorts of things that God gives us. Maybe not in a power sense, in the sense of a sign, but he still gives us stuff. That has not stopped. You know, you may feel all proud of yourself because you got through college and got a bunch of degrees, but who gave you the brain that enabled you to understand all that stuff? Who enabled you to get the money so that you could go to college to get all of that stuff? Who caused you to be born in the United States where there's a college to go to? That you weren't born out in the jungle somewhere, that the best you could learn is what root to dig up to eat. It comes from God. And what we have comes from God, and we ought not to look down on one another because we have different gifts, and some gifts seem to be less valuable or more valuable. We ought to be united in it and saying, hey, I've got this to bring to the table. And let's bring it to the table because the same God who gave me my gifts gave you yours. Let's be united. Because the same God that empowers me and forgave me and gave me eternal life and gave me wisdom is the same God that gives you that too. And that's really what Paul is trying to get at when he's rebuking the Corinthians. And in a way, that's a rebuke that we need to take to heart too. that Christianity isn't for me. Yes, Christ is for me. He loved me so much that he died on the cross for me. And I'm glad, but I wasn't saved just to be a Lone Ranger Christian. I got my salvation. Now you take care of yourself. It doesn't work that way. I was baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, and I become one with Christ, and I become one with Christ's people. And so I have a loyalty to Christ and a loyalty to Christ's people now. And the gifts that he has given me are gifts that are meant to be used on behalf of everybody, not on just my behalf, so I can be a big shot or a big deal or get the spotlight or whatever else it might happen to be. It's everybody's gifts, everybody's love, everybody's abilities for everybody else. And that is really be loyal to Christ in where we search for our strength and our knowledge. Be loyal to Christ in our giving to one another. That's the message that Paul is giving us right here. And that's what I leave with you and myself. Because it is a temptation, isn't it? You know? You get your blessing. I got mine. Well, you get yours. That's always that kind of temptation. But that's not the way God designed it to be in his church. And that's our challenge. To look outside of ourselves and serve one another the way God wants us to serve. If you have any requests, any prayer requests,